up? What up, guys? It's Jacob back here with the Clear Path NBA podcast. I'm joined once again by my bro, Blake Thornton. How's it going, man?
It's going good, man. How's it going? How's it hanging?
Good, good, good. Thanks. Thanks for having me back with thanks for being back with me.
Thanks for having me back with you, man.
Exactly, exactly. Glad you could spare this time on your Sunday afternoon. But yeah, once again, we're brought to you by Vendetta Sports Media. Check us out on vendettasportsmedia.com. You can find us on Twitter and all that good stuff. pods and articles and all kinds of, they got some good NBA draft. I mean, NFL draft and NFL combine stuff coming, here in the next couple of weeks, which, I know we got a lot of guys that are involved in the website that are, real tuned in, real involved, real, you know, passionate about this time of year. It's kind of like, you know, I mean, me and you, Blake, you and I are real big into the, you know, NBA draft and whatnot. And of course I love watching the NFL combine and the NFL draft, but those guys are, they watch every single thing. Like they do all kinds of like breakdowns and stuff. So there'll be some good content coming. I do like watching the NFL draft and the combine.
I'm not going to lie. Talking about NFL versus NBA drafts, I don't know if I could sit down and break down every single NFL draft pick.
No. Because like I don't know anything about the offensive linemen because I just don't care. That's the thing about doing, like, I was talking to Trey Dalbert, who's one of the co-founders, who he says he does, you know, mock drafts and stuff. I was talking about doing a mock draft for NBA, and he does one. He says he does only one for the NFL. And I was like, dude, that's so much work because even if you just do a first round, there's so many, like, because there's going to be player non-skill position players taken, and you know whether or not they're defensive tackles or interior linemen, tackles, whatever, centers. It's like, man, that just takes some dedication to like go into and watch film on those things and to like actually, you know what you're talking about. So more power to those guys because I can't do it. But I'll look at some wide receivers.
Yeah, well, it's just like with the NBA, it's controlled to the point where. You know everyone's stats, and it's just like there's too many variables for like even a first round NFL like mock draft. There's you never know team needs. I'm going to take this offensive center. I mean this center. You know, it's just it's nuts to me that people can break down and be like semi accurate. You know,
And also too, you know, with the NBA, of course, just two rounds, which I hope they extend that. I think once the G League expands a little bit and they get 1-to-1 where each team has an affiliate. I think we could see like a third or a fourth round possibility in the NBA draft, just so you can start really developing more talent to just better the league. And you'll probably eventually see some expansion teams and things like that. I think you have the potential, but you know, you have very few teams in the college basketball that are going to supply you more than one NBA draft pick per season. There's going to be your Duke, your Kentucky, you know, teams like that, you know, Michigan State, something like that. Very few schools are going to provide more than one NBA caliber player per season, at least even that. And even you know, over a couple of years. And but with the NFL, you know, you have even small colleges, you have them putting multiple players in the draft per year. So it's just it's a lot more in depth. You know, you've got 22 players that are starting caliber on each team. So the NBA is a lot more, I won't say it's easier to evaluate talent. It's just different how, you know, you can see one player affecting a game, but it is more intricate on how that player is going to be successful at the next level, because even though you have less to look at, it's more pressure on making sure that pick hits.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Dude, trying to do a mock draft for the NBA lottery is probably the most stressful thing. I've been like going back and forth on who can get, you know, for the past 2 or 3 weeks now, and it's I don't know. It's kind of nuts to me.
Yeah. we were talking about this earlier. There's a lot of teams trying to get that spot. We've talked in the past about the tankapalooza that's going on. Teams are challenging each other this year because this is the last year the lottery has the odd structure that they do. And it's more incentivized to be in the top three or four. So we'll see who's able to select down in there. But I guess kind of in the reverse picture of the standings in the playoff picture, something happened, I believe it was Friday night or Thursday night, that kind of, you know, is going to shake up some stuff is the Jimmy Butler injury. And, you know, he went down with a knee injury, non-contact knee injury. And, you know, they took an MRI. They were kind of mum on the details. Came out that it is actually a torn meniscus. He had surgery actually today. Updated that they had surgery today. And, you know, they haven't really released a timetable. It's one of those injuries and one of those players that, you know, he's come back from injuries in the past. It's one of those things where you can rehab it really hard and come back at a quicker clip. But I think they're just kind of keeping it mum because they're going to try to hope for like a playoff return. But it's really, you know, he's their best player. He's their most experienced player, most veteran player, I guess, kind of on the in their elite talent. So this is a big blow for them.
The first thing that kind of stood out to me was I know that they're kind of being hush hush about, you know, the time, his specific timetable. I know they said the surgery went pretty well, but it's right on that edge to where it's 4 to 6 weeks until where they're like, you have a normal, you know, healing time before you can kind of get back up and rehab and all this other stuff. Yeah. But that's right when the playoffs are going to start. So I don't know. It's depending on who they get first round. Like right now they're going to get Portland in the first round at home though. But I don't know if can you beat Portland at home, but that's a kind of a conversation we can have just in a little bit, but it's right on the edge of when he can come back and when the playoffs start. So, I mean, this is tough. This is scary for the Wolves, man.
Yeah, because, and I'll be honest with you, you know, I made a bet last year. A lot of people thought the Wolves were going to take a step last year and really be a top eight team. They didn't. I was still a little bit down on them this year, even with the acquisition of Butler. They've impressed me, you know, them being consistently in that fourth spot. Kind of, we've talked about the 5, 6, 7, and 8 spots are really just a mush of about a half a game away from each other. So they just keep shuffling. But the Wolves have stayed a good 2.5 to 3 games above everybody else to kind of secure that home court advantage. And that really is going to be tested here in the next couple of weeks because, you know, I think what we have here, we've got, you know, a couple, we got the end of February, the rest of March, and then a couple of weeks, I think the first 2 weeks of April until the season ends. And I'm just looking at their schedule. They got one of the tougher schedules. They got Golden State. You know, they've got the Clippers a couple of times, Houston, San Antonio. You know, they end with Denver. They got Boston left. Utah's one of their next games. They're playing hot. So you're really going to have to see if they can. I really think they're going to fall a little bit. I do like Towns and Wiggins, but I don't think they're going to be able to. I think you're going to see somebody jump up and take that 4 spot probably from them.
Yeah, just kind of doing like a quick glance of their remaining schedule. I know that, I mean, outside of the Kings, they play the Blazers, the Jazz, Boston, Golden State, Washington, the Spurs, the Rockets, the Clippers, like all in a row. So if he was going to go down, this definitely wasn't the time. So I don't think they've built up kind of they're 3 games, I think, maybe ahead of Portland in the standing. So I don't know if that's enough of a cushion to kind of keep home court advantage. I still think that they creep into the playoffs, but I don't know, man.
I think they'll stay. I think they'll stay in the playoffs, but I think you could see what you hope when you're in the 4 seed is that you don't fall that far, but there's really not. I mean, we talk about Oklahoma is an OKC is 8 right now.
Yeah.
They were 5 just a couple of days ago.
Yeah.
Like it can change in a hurry and all they have to do is lose 2 games in a row and all of a sudden one of these teams wins 2 in a row and they've already been replaced. So you're in that mush of teams 5 through 8. And I think they'll stay in there, but I could see them dropping to 6 or 7, you know, at worst even, you know,
the thing about it is, which is it's, I don't know, it's from 4 to 8, they're only separated by 3 or 4 games. So if they get into that gauntlet of the schedule and they, you know, lose all momentum and just start spiraling out of control, I think they stay, but I don't know. Don't sleep on Utah at 10.
I'd love to see them sneak in. I really don't want the Clippers to sneak. I feel like they're going to fight their way. I don't know.
They get swept by Houston.
Yeah. Hey, for real. We'll see what happens with them. San Antonio's a team too. They beat Cleveland today, but they were actually weirdly enough, Minnesota was tied with them for the three seed. And with the news about Kawhi probably not coming back this year, I think probably Minnesota fans had an idea of we can probably get that three seed and get ourselves in even a more favorable position to not play the one seed, which will probably end up being Golden State when it's all said and done in the second round.
Oh man, come on now.
Well, I'm just saying, like, they're
life of a Bay Area guy. Yeah.
Oh, I don't want to. No, I'm definitely not rooting for him. I just feel like at the end of the day, they're going to be the one seed. I think they take it more as an insult than Cleveland does, not in a seeding situation. So now you can't really think about the three seed. And of course, our whole conversation here could be mute in the next week or two if they end up just clicking and finding their rhythm without Jimmy. But like we said, we don't think that's going to happen. Portland has stayed strong. Denver's looked very good since the beginning, right before the All-Star break. And then after, Jokic is playing crazy good. New Orleans has hung on more so than I thought they would. I still think maybe they've done enough work to where they'll stay in the playoff hunt. Oklahoma City can still get hot. They've really, it's crazy at this point in the season, they haven't, I guess, learned what they're going to do with their three stars, like how they can mesh good enough to be a consistent team. So you never know. It could click. It could not click. But if it does, we could see them shoot up the board. So it could be some crazy first round matchups. But from Minnesota perspective, you can't help but right now be upset and really, really kicking yourself because not kicking yourself because it's not your fault, but the chance that could have been to have that three seed or that just maintain that four seed, which, you know, it just for a team that hasn't been in the playoffs in a long time.
Yeah, I was about to say what could have been for those fans. I think the fans are the air was let out of the sails, if you will, kind of. But I don't know. They're still going to make the playoffs. We could in 2 months be saying, oh, wow, you know, Jimmy Butler, what an incredible recovery, you know, blah, blah, blah. And they sneak past the Blazers in the first round to give them a chance for Jimmy to come back, playing limited minutes, mind you. But I mean, hey, they're a good team when he's on the floor. But yeah. I think the Jazz ultimately, New Orleans is going to falter because I mean, AD can't go out and score 45 and 15 every game, and also I mean, honestly, they don't have anyone else on their team, so
they really don't. Yeah, but I mean, so that's, you know, the West is kind of just a mishmash right now. Post All-Star break, you see a lot of teams separate. You see teams like we have seen at the bottom of the league really commit to the tank. You know, the Lakers actually, you know, they've been hot lately. They've been, you know, 6-4 in their last 10. They've won two in a row. They've really been playing better. They're trying to, they don't have their pick this year. So there's no really incentive to be at the bottom. So that's a team too that could knock off a couple of teams along their way, and out east too. What I wanted to kind of talk about was Cleveland, who I've been big on, how they've struggled since the All-Star break. Actually, they went really hot into the break, lost 2 of 3 since. They dropped one to Washington first night out, and then lost to they sandwiched a clobbering of our Memphis Grizzlies in between their loss to San Antonio today, which both the Washington loss and the I think the Washington game was kind of close, but they got it handed to them today in San Antonio. So I think out east. You know, the game we're watching right now, Washington and Philly, Philly's won 7 in a row. They've 8-2 in their last 10. They've moved up to the 6th seed, and Milwaukee and Miami have kind of been up and down. Indiana's maintaining that 5th seed right now, and Washington seems like they're for real, even without John Wall. So that playoff picture is getting pretty interesting too. I think it's going to be a fun one to watch.
I've been watching Washington since John Wall's kind of gone out, and Bradley Beal is taking it like on himself to make this team be all that it can be. I've just seen him playing a lot better with John Wall off the floor, and that's not a knock to John Wall because he's an incredible player, but I feel like they're just kind of rallying around Beal because they just see it as this is their time. And John Wall is kind of he's showing signs of kind of being a little selfish, but hey, that's neither here nor there. Yeah. Honestly, out east, Toronto is my team to come out of the east.
Oh, you think in the finals even?
If I'm speaking on it right now, I don't think Cleveland gets there. Honestly, I think that it does go Toronto and then Cleveland in the Eastern Conference Finals. But Toronto, I'm picking it right now. I'll say it right now. Toronto can come out of the East. I know you're not going to like that, but
no, I'd love to see it. I mean, I think Cleveland will, but I like Toronto. I'd like to see them in that core in that city get to a finals. I think they'd get lit up by whoever they played there. But of course, if they make it to the finals, that means they would have proved me wrong and a lot of other people wrong in the way they've played in the playoffs in the past. So,
right. I don't know. I'm a huge DeMar DeRozan fan. I think his game and just he's put the team on his back, the city on his back, and just kind of being up there off and on, kind of with work and seeing how like what him and Kyle Lowry and that team means to the city. Man, I think it'd be just incredible.
Yeah, that's very true.
Hey, but then we'd see a lot more of Drake, and I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing.
He'd have to make some appearances. I meant to ask you last time we talked. Last podcast was actually right before the All-Star break. Did anything go down? All-Star weekend stood out to you?
Man, I was pissed that Dennis Smith Jr. was. Don't bring that weak stuff to this party, man. Like. Brought water to that house party.
I think it was weird. It was weird to watch him because there was two different occasions that he went out to try a dunk and he missed it. And then he completely changed the dunk for his second attempt, which was a more mediocre attempt. And I was like, I think he had some really cool stuff planned. I think it just kind of was like he probably felt a little bit of pressure. Like, I don't want to get a zero or I don't want to get, you know, like a non-finished attempt. So I think I really think they should toy around with it. It's a hard event to kind of, I don't know, to mess with because there's not too much you can do with it. But I was the same. I was a little bit disappointed that I didn't think Larry Nance's dunks really were that impressive at all.
No, there were like everything about the. I mean, I like Donovan Mitchell in the dunk competition. Like, I mean, at least he tried to switch it up and do his thing. But I'm not gonna lie, I kind of loved when he put the VC jersey on. I like that. But he
still wasn't as good as Vince's dunk. He didn't get
it still wasn't as good as Vince's dunk. I mean, they just came with some pretty average dunks, if you ask me. But I don't know. Outside of that, Devin Booker clearing out 28 in the final rack.
That was one of the craziest performances. Like. I don't even know how to describe, like, there's something about, and if anybody that's played basketball before, this is going to sound weird. Anybody that's played basketball before knows that the way a shot goes in and how it can kind of there, you can make shot, you can bank shots, you can swish shots, you can any type of way, I guess that it goes in. The way Booker was shooting looked like it was effortless and that like there was no doubt that it was going in. It was unbelievable. It was like the most satisfying thing to watch ever. Like it was so pure. That's the only way you can describe it is pure.
If you're ever going to watch a basketball tutorial on how to shoot with, it didn't even look like it hit the net.
No,
it looked like he was surprising himself that he just, it was an ocean. He was throwing a ball into the ocean and it was hitting every shot. So
yeah,
it was so satisfying to watch.
He and Clay are probably the only player, like two of the only players I've ever seen that shot like that. You know, people want to talk about Steph, but there's a lot more effort that goes into not effort, but Steph is, I don't know, those guys, it's more of a set shot for them. And it's more of just like a flick of the wrist, and Steph, you know, kind of like pushes. I don't want to sit here and break down jump shots, but yeah, like those, like it was a real big pleasure to watch. Your guy Tobias, though, UT Pride, I thought he was going to make a run at it. He looked really good. He was shooting his actual NBA in game jump shot too.
Yeah.
He
did. He did a full shot. He didn't like kind of rise up a little bit on the toes. He did the full jump shot. But I'm not going to sit here and lie and say, oh, my God, I was expecting every bit of that. But He surprised me. I was watching it going, okay, Tobias. Oh, shit. Okay.
Biggest man in the competition. Also, I don't know if you had the sound on or anything, if you were doing something in the background, but first off, like Reggie Miller sucks on TNT. Like he's probably the worst color commentator or whatever you call him, former player person on TV that I've seen. I just don't like him. And kind of the NBA Twitter makes fun of him as well. But he made the comment while Tobias Ayers was shooting, saying that, you know, out of all the competitors, you know, he said he's very familiar with these rims being from the Clippers and all this stuff. Not even acknowledging that like a week and a half ago was when he got traded to the Clippers.
That's
like,
insane.
He's been there for like 10 days at most. And you're going to make the comment that this guy is shooting in his home gym and he's got an advantage. And it's like, come on, man. Like
making it seem like he's been Kobe Bryant shooting there for 20
yeah,
years.
Make it sound like he's his like eighth year with the squad. It's like, no, man, there's players in that competition that have probably played in LA more than he has that year.
I mean, I didn't hear that. I didn't hear that exact comment, but
no, it was stupid.
I feel like he does kind of reach, and I feel like somebody kind of says something like reads like prepare cards sometimes, maybe.
That'd be
because good. Dude, that had no. I take that back, because anybody like in the background like feeding him stats is going to be guys like you and me that would know that he got traded 10 days ago.
Exactly. He should have. I mean, he was just trying to make a point. And you see a lot of those guys are just starving for content. But another thing too, I noticed when watching a game on TNT a couple nights ago. Just a pet peeve of mine. I feel like Chris Webber never stops talking on a broadcast. There was like a 5 minute span where he did not stop. Like he was talking. I don't even know what he was just bringing up random things. And it was all basketball related, but it was like, it wasn't having to do with this game. But it was not even that. It was just that he didn't stop talking for the entire time. There was other people that were making comments, but I'm pretty sure he was running his mouth the whole time.
Chris Webber is that guy on a first date that if there's any moment of silence, he feels like the date's going bad, and he wants to feel every single area of what he thinks is relevant.
Exactly.
It's just like, oh my God, the rookie game, the Rising Stars game, Lonzo Ball didn't play. But, you know, 3 years ago, Lonzo Ball was like hitting it up with Jello and Mello in their backyard, and they were kidding it. And, you know, he also cut the grass after that. Like, yeah. It's like, bro,
it's no like, it's like the analogy. It's like a seventh grader writing an essay. Like when you get into seventh grade or eighth grade and whenever it is, you first start actually having to write papers for real. And I don't even know if that's a thing, but nowadays you just type it on an iPad. But like when you first start having to write your like 4 and 5 page papers, and you just start like having super simple sentences, and you just start talking about things and separating ideas and not combining any of them. That's like Chris Webber, just like going on and on, like talking about random facts or random, you know, thing, factual evidence about somebody's past or whatever. Just garbage art audio. That's why I actually had an idea. I wanted to bring it up. I'm not going to bring that up because that's an idea for some kind of probably like application or something that you could do that'll make you make money off of. So I'm not going to talk about that.
Censored content, guys.
It was something about like bidding out broadcasting for a game. And I don't you'd have to go through the logistics of it, but it, you know, having your streams line up and not actually being in the arena, but they've done it a little bit with the players only on NBA TV this year, where a lot of games, they have maybe a sideline reporter, but it'll be like, Grant Hill and somebody else in studio at NBA in Atlanta, like calling a game in Toronto or whatever. So they've experimented a little bit with that and not actually having on-court announcers for the game. But there was one thing I wanted to bring up before we got out of here. Yeah. And I don't know if you saw the commercial over the weekend, but it was the Uncle Drew movie coming out. Everybody knows Uncle Drew from Kyrie Irving and like the Mountain Dew commercials and stuff. But if you haven't seen it, you need to check it out.
I haven't seen it yet, but hey, man, I love Drew, man. I love it.
I think it's going to be funny. It's got like Reggie Miller, Shaq, Nate Robinson, a couple other players in it. Chris Webber, actually. It's like the whole TNT crew, basically.
I was listening to a Bill Simmons, Richard Jefferson podcast, and he was talking about, like, Richard Jefferson was like, yeah, Kyrie's my guy. And Bill was like asking him, oh my, wow, why didn't you, are you in the new Uncle Drew movie? He was like, nah, man, it would be too realistic. Me as an old guy, I would look too realistic. I had to cut myself out of that one.
No, that's very true. I feel like when you're at that point in Richard Jefferson, you can't, people are already making the old jokes about you.
Yeah. Yeah,
can't fully go into it. Plus, so, plus barely anybody knows who he is.
I was about to say, people would see that and just be like, "Wow, that guy really
who is this guy." Yeah, but anyway, that there wasn't much to go on. We've had a couple of about 4 or 5 days. Actually, about 4 days now of NBA games since the break. So we'll see some play heating up here. We'll see a lot of losing, a lot of teams committed to the tank, and a lot of other teams really trying to. Really solidify that playoff spot and sneak in from the 9 to 10 seed range probably. So, but anyway, I thank you for jumping on, Blake. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Hey, next time we're going to live stream really bad games. So like reaction videos to like really bad games. So like Grizzlies playing the Kings. So watch out for that.
I mean, that's the kind of content people are looking for.
I do not know though, for real. No, but it was cool, man. Thanks for having me on.
All right, guys. Thanks, Blake. Appreciate it. But anyway, make sure to follow. I think it's Blake_Thornton, right?
Yep, that's it.
And then we're at ClearPath NBA. I'm Jacob_McCormick_, and you can find us at Media_Vendetta, underscores all around. And then follow the content at VendettaSportsMedia.com. But anyway, thanks. We'll talk to you later this week.
Peace.